You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's time for a noon kick.
Let's go, babe. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
This is Danny and Dusty on Football Friday.
You gotta see it! You gotta see it!
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
It's not Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Rusty. As Dusty is currently probably doing stairs in West Lafayette.
Yeah, right.
Trying to keep that bod tight. We're on for an hour today.
Yeah, turn and burn, baby.
I'm spending more time driving to the studio than I am on air today. That's how this is going to work. The reason why is because said Ducks, the Ducks pregame show, will kick off an hour from now. Well, yeah. 58 minutes
58
from now.
58 minutes.
Dirt will be in. Is Newman coming in?
Anthony will be here.
Anthony will be in. Yep. So they're going to kick me out of the studio. I thought I could just kick it in here for a couple hours. I guess I got to do it in the new casting couch region that we have out here.
Yeah, there we go.
Everybody's like, what? we have like a watch party kind of situation going on.
Yeah, lounge
here.
Area.
We may or may not be looking at putting cameras out there. Just so you can watch the heathens as we may or may not watch some events out there.
Yeah, kind of a little, like, Big Brother action.
Yeah, mildly barstooly. Capitalize on, I don't know, young Jake out there, who's a big Yankees fan, who was probably melting down as the Guardians came back last night.
Right.
Or Suk putting his face in his hands as the Mets continue to lose. Or, like, Dusty recorded me 2 years ago when the Cardinals, when we were coming out of COVID, melting down in our little tiny office that is now our sales manager's office.
Yes.
God, you remember that?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, because you were in another room.
Yeah, we were in separate rooms.
And then Dusty and I were in COVID, were stuffed in a room together.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm thinking of it this way, too. Like, we currently are also in separate rooms, but now we have, you know, there's a glass window that we can look through.
I remember
before,
joking,
we were
like,
in two separate offices.
We were like, do we just like, cut a hole in the wall and, like, do like a pass-through?
Right.
Like, how do we do this?
Yes.
So, I'm going through an existential crisis right now. That's happening. I'm 40 today.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, and I started my day off with a drug test. So, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's part of my employment deal with old Big Brother K2. So,
yeah.
Of which I was like, "Hey, this drug test is going to probably feature some things. Nothing bad."
Yeah.
Like, well,
nothing that bad.
I mean, prescriptions.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a lot in there. Like, it's not coming out in, like, pure, like, Vicodin form, but, like, it's, you know, there's, like, that's going to be in there. And there's also, like, to keep my Vicodin intake down, I take edibles. So, we gonna be good here? Like, and they're like, yeah, you're fine. I'm like, I think they're basically like, you're not on meth, right?
Right, yeah. Like, just looking for the China White.
I don't even think they, honestly, considering it's TV, I feel like they don't look for that.
Yeah, no.
You know?
What?
Yeah. What? I'm just going with a history of TV and the significant amounts of Colombian Bam Bam that persist through the industry. I just don't think they're opting for that test. I think they're probably looking for, like, the black tar heroin, probably the Fenty.
Yeah.
Meth.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of the crack.
Yeah, I mean the one time knockout stuff, you know, the stuff that makes you take the everlasting nap.
Yes,
The toaster bath, you know.
Exactly, the toaster bath. Yikes!
So I'm just saying, you know. Wow, we found a pile of heroin, and somehow the toaster ended up in the bathtub with him. I don't know. So, but again, Oregon Ducks take on Purdue here in a couple of hours. They'll have the pregame show covering. Dirt and Anthony will take you right up to the pregame.
Yep, to Ducks Network pregame.
Well, they will then pick up the game and carry you through the night, and what I would imagine is going to be an absolute bludgeoning.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, Yikes, dog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're 30-point favorites.
I would say, where's the line at now?
The last I checked was 30.
29.5. So somebody's betting that duck line down a little bit.
Well, it had started out, I think, 27-ish or so.
Yeah, no, it went up. Week. I thought I saw it as high as 32.5.
Gotcha. It did say it opened at 29.5, so excuse me.
Okay, but, so it went down, then it came back up.
Yeah.
Look, man, the Ducks have been bad against the spread this year.
Yeah, they haven't been, yeah. I think those first couple games, they were kind of...
I mean, you expect them to beat Idaho by like 40.
Right.
But I
think they were trying to not show too much. Early in the season against a clearly inferior opponent.
Sure, but I think they'd had
and still
their
feeling
issues
some things
too.
Out. And yeah. That also too was the figuring line. Out that yes, yeah. The O-line.
No, they had some stuff to figure out, so not a big deal. But yeah, unless it's like Alabama directional school,
mm-hmm.
those lines I just don't touch.
Yeah.
Well, I should say the favorites.
Yes.
Like I just Now, those are the ones where I look at those directional schools and go, can you cover 40? 40? You know?
Yeah.
Now, Portland State, Oregon?
Yes.
They'll cover that one.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, a lot of times, those don't even have lines.
Yeah, because they're like, we can't put an 80-point line on this game. You know? But, yeah, so there's that. And we'll talk about the Yankees melting down. The Lakers... had a preseason night for the ages as Dalton Kconnect goes for 20 straight points. And oh my God, now they have somebody else that they won't be willing to trade for a star.
Right.
And if they had kept Alex Caruso, they somehow, some way would have like the all three white Infinity Stones. So we'll also talk about the Denver Broncos and New Orleans Saints last night. That game was hideously ugly.
I couldn't watch it. I was getting on the TV and it kept saying that because we were on the same Prime account as my parents, and for some reason this is the first time it's ever popped up. They
double blocked you.
They said there's too many devices already watching the broadcast. And I'm like, what?
That's weird.
I've never seen that happen before.
The crazy thing is about that game last night is that the Broncos, and this has happened a couple times, not just to the Broncos. The Broncos score 33 points, but Bo was... There's been a couple of these quarterback games this year where teams are scoring quite a few points, mm-hmm. but the quarterback play is so-so. So-so is still better than what they saw from Spencer Rattler, so we'll get into
There's that.
Going to give away some more tickets to Weird Al. Got to do that sometime in this hour. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that stuff.
It's our only hour.
Yeah. So I got to find a way to get that in there. So we got to talk Ducks. We got to make fun of the Yankees. Feel bad for the Saints and how injured they are. Mm-hmm. We probably laugh at Mike Tomlin right now because he tried to keep like a super secret plan of starting Russell Wilson, even though yesterday someone at the NFL Network reported that he was starting.
Right.
And then he went on the radio today or the press conference today and said, we're going to keep that in-house. And then George Pickens said, bet.
Yeah.
I've been working with Russ because he's starting this weekend.
That's weird because wide receivers don't usually talk that much. Oh, wait.
Also, the idea, again, preparing for one crappy quarterback instead of the other crappy quarterback. Yeah, right. Like, oh, no, what are we going to do?
Preparing for a younger crappy quarterback instead of an older crappy quarterback.
Yeah, it was like the whole idea of the Raiders switching between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And I was like, why? Why?
Right.
The only difference is, I saw this stat the other day. Aiden O'Connell has not tucked the ball and run once as a quarterback in the NFL.
Wow. Not once.
Wild, right?
Crazy. Yeah.
I can't remember who it was. I think it was one of the Next Gen Stats writers, and I was just like, that man is committed to the pocket.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Does somebody like nail his foot down? Like what is happening here?
Even Tom Brady took off once or twice.
Right? It's just, you know, it's a interesting place to be.
Yeah.
So even in this hour alone, we've got plenty to dive into.
Well, we got the Beavs tomorrow too. They are 6.5-point home dogs to UNLV.
Which feels maybe a little bit heavy, but then you look at the Beavs injury report and you go, yeah. You know, he's a bit of a wagon.
Yeah.
Bit of a wagon.
5-1.
We'll maybe find a way to talk about some of the other college football games. It is a football Friday. The Portland Trailblazers do have their lone home NBA preseason game against an NBA opponent tonight.
There we go.
And then, obviously, as I mentioned yesterday, we're going to launch the Rip City Wrap-Up tonight, the Trailblazers post-game show with me, Joe Simons, and Tyree Smith. So that'll be fun.
Excellent.
So, yeah. But let's start today's show diving into Ducks Boilermakers, which sounds like a really, really, really crappy Midwestern drink. We'll get to that and more coming up here next on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
I saw you. Just a matter of hours, the Oregon Ducks will take on the Purdue Boilermakers in West Lafayette. 5 p.m. Is it a 5:12 kickoff?
They won't be waiting for another game to finish or anything, so I bet it'll be pretty close to on time.
That's true. It's a Friday night game.
Yeah.
But still, they always find a way. Again, I've mentioned this so many times. The English don't do many things right. What they do right is their kickoff times.
Right.
You have a ref standing at midfield of a soccer game in the Premier League waiting for noon.
Mm-hmm.
And that tick hits.
Yeah.
Tweet, go.
Well, like Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Those kicks, they kick off, man. They go.
Like, it's like, and why can't we do this with everything?
Well, and like, look at baseball, too. You've got 5:08 first pitch.
But they tell you. They give you like, hey, look, we got the national anthem. We got to get everybody on the field. Mm-hmm. We got to do our little schmid. But hey.
But yeah. First 5:08. Pitch is at 5:08.
We give you the real time. NFL? Nah, man. Hey, we want you here for the 28 minutes of commercials that we're going to shoehorn in here, and then we'll get the game going. Like, one of my favorite things about the Super Bowl is always like, okay, what's the actual kickoff time? Because here's the thing. It's like one of the most protected, like, security events in the world. So they have it down to the second. And yet,
right,
they can't give us the actual kickoff time. And it makes me lose my freaking mind. Okay, so keys for the Ducks here. They're very simple. Get in, grind ball, stay healthy, get out. That's it. There's no reason to mess around. The spread right now is at 29.5, and the total is at 60.5. Do the math.
Yeah.
They're saying they're going to get in, walk, and go.
You're looking at like 45-15, basically. Yeah.
All right? So, like, This is not something that anybody should be panicking about. Looking at all the analytics right now, the Ducks are the likely outcome is like a 94% win. What you need to avoid is not Alabama-ing yourself against Vandy. Mm-hmm. Now, the significant difference here is that Vandy's got a little chomp to them. They're a little mini wagon.
They're not quite the same Vandy that they have been historically.
Yes.
Yeah.
They decided, hey, you know that big old trunk full of money? What happens if we spend it?
Yeah.
Like, not all of it, but like just some of it.
Just some.
Like, we'll go get a transfer quarterback from New Mexico State. Like, we're not going to go get an Alabama transfer. We're like, let's go down there and see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm actually interested to see if they go, ooh, this is fun. And then they just start spending money like crazy.
Right.
You know, that's kind of one of the full ones. So Purdue head coach Ryan Walters is going to give Ryan Brown another chance at a start after getting his first start last week. The comment that he had about, look, they're hoping to snap a 5-game losing streak while also derailing Oregon's Big Ten title hopes.
Okay.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. Look, man, if you're looking for the secret sauce here, it's the we're shorthanded come together Disney movie special. Walter's fired, weirdly enough, going like full circle of coaches bouncing around. Did you know Purdue's offensive coordinator coming into the season?
Mm-mm.
Graham Harrell.
Oh, okay.
Ye of Texas Tech fame.
Yes. He threw the ball a lot.
He got fired 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And so now they went and grabbed the always great offensive analyst, which basically means the offensive coordinator without a headset.
Yeah.
And he is now plugged in as the offensive coordinator, or was plugged in as the offensive coordinator. That didn't go well. And so now Walter's just calling the plays.
Ah.
With a second-time starter.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the fun part about this. And when I was doing a little bit of prep on this game, he had so much fun calling the plays over the final 30 minutes of last week's game that he decided, hey, I'm going to keep this job.
Alrighty.
Like, that's the kind of season Purdue's having right
now.
Like, it's not even playing with house money. It's playing with Monopoly money. And it's like, it's really, 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 really interesting because the more I read about this, this is a quote from the head coach. The week of the Wisconsin game, I spent learning the vocab, the rules within the offense. I didn't feel comfortable calling it that game. Got to midweek last week and felt like I had the vocab down enough to know what play I wanted to get to. So I just felt like me calling the game was going to give us the best opportunity to put points on the board. How are you the head coach and you aren't familiar with the vocab of your own offense?
Yeah. Well, how long? He hasn't been there too long, has he, Walters?
2 years?
Yeah.
I think it's year two?
That sounds about right, I think.
I just...
Yeah.
I don't know what's gonna come from. On the Oregon side of things, one thing that I'm interested to see is does Trayshawn Holden play?
No idea.
Dan Lanning has said he will handle the spitting incident internally. Is this a sit out a first half situation? Yeah. Is this a sit out a whole game situation?
Maybe it's a sit out first series or first quarter.
And I'm kind of interested to see how pissed Dan Lanning is about that.
Yeah.
But that's maybe the biggest thing I'm concerned with right now. Like, the biggest thing for the Ducks right now is they need to get through this game unscathed.
Yeah.
And it's not about injuries, or it's not about the score. It's not about, you know, style points. Your next two games are against number 22 Illinois and number 24 Michigan at Michigan. Michigan, obviously, as a team, it's kind of but this is...
They've been making their way down towards the bottom.
I mean, turns out not being able to throw the ball unless you're USC is a very ineffective way for them to match up.
Right.
Right. So Illinois takes on Michigan this week. Then your next two opponents, they play each other. So you get a nice little little look at the film there of stylistically how they're going to match up. But, you know, this is one of those things where you look at and go, okay, let's go back to what we were, not necessarily what we were in the beginning of the season when they were struggling, but the idea of keeping what you got.
Yeah.
Don't show anything else. Don't do anything extra.
Yeah.
Play within the boundaries. On to the next.
Yeah. Well, and I've heard that maybe, you know, some of the strategy for this week might just be to come out run the ball, don't want to extend the game. You know, I think it was maybe Suk saying it, rather than running, you know, 90 plays, getting it down to like 65, 70.
Yeah, don't put the wear and tear on guys. Yeah. Like, let's look, let's not go full Chip Kelly. Mm-hmm. We don't need to put, look, I know Lanning, in what he's probably saying is we treat them like any other opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go out there and you execute and don't get lazy and you don't deviate from what you are. But what he's probably saying is, hey, we can't lose focus, but we're going to dial things back a little bit because we need to protect ourselves because it's a long season.
Mm.
And I wouldn't begrudge them one bit. And I don't think it's a situation where you're taking your eye off the ball. I don't think it's a situation where you're treating them with any less respect. I think you're doing what's prudent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Ducks, for the most part, now that the offensive line has come together, has been mostly healthy. Obviously, Jordan Birch dinged up. Offensive line now mostly healthy. Holden is, I believe, the only receiver. No, who left the game? God dang it. They were already down a guy against Ohio State.
Well, I think Kyle Kasper's out.
Thank you. Yes. So they're going to be a little short on the wide receiver end. Mm-hmm. But what's been great about the Ducks lately is that running game has gotten going.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a game where I think you look and you lean on Jordan James.
Yes.
Make sure Dylan Gabriel. Look, I was critical. We'll go with critical. Critical is a fair enough word. Critical of Dylan Gabriel of not running the ball
mm-hmm.
early in the game against Ohio State. Against Purdue, Dylan Gabriel, don't run the ball.
Yeah, right?
Don't go out there and get hurt.
Right.
You know, that's the world where we're at right now. Yes. It's like, just make sure you get in, get out, everyone healthy.
Yeah, come back home healthy.
Let's go.
Yeah. So just a side note here, Googling Ryan Walters pretty quick. So he was born, soon after he was born, his dad got a scholarship to play quarterback for Colorado. And it says, during his father's playing days, his babysitter was National Football League coach Eric Bieniemy.
Really?
Yeah.
What a small world.
Right?
Huh. Okay. As of 2 hours ago, here's your Duck injury report. Questionable, Gary Bryant Jr., Jack Ressler, Fox Crater, doubtful, Birch, Bedford, Gardner, out, Jaleel Florence, Dave Iuli, Kyler Kasper, Dakota Fields. That's how it sits right now. So, doubtful. Look, I bet you if I'm Lanning, if I can go without Birch today, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Give him another week of rest.
Yeah. Well, and if he's doubtful, yeah, he's not playing.
Right. Like,
yeah,
I'm not too intimately familiar with how they go with doubtful. Mm-hmm. If that, cause doubtful is supposed to mean 50-50. Right. I believe in like legal parlance.
Gotcha.
Parlance. Good Lord. I talk for a living. And by talk, I mean my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth.
Yeah.
Thank you for a text line. Dylan Gabriel needs some Jaden Daniels stat padding. Well, if he's like we talked about this yesterday with the Heisman Trophy race. This is the kind of game that might actually hurt him. Because if you're the Ducks, what you hope is you're packing this thing up in the third quarter.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
This is... if you're the Ducks, you hope this is an Ashton Jeanty situation where you've salted this thing away and through halftime or the third quarter, you're like, all right, we're gonna swap some units out there. We're gonna, you know,
yeah,
throw a backup quarterback in there, throw a backup running back, throw a backup wide receiver, maybe a backup O-lineman or two.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep the legs fresh and make sure we're on to the next because, again, keeping your eye on the prize. Winning that Ohio State game means you have an opportunity for a top two finish in the country.
Yeah.
Means an opportunity, and how you maximize those opportunities is getting through this game healthy, getting through this game minimizing mistakes, and then moving on to Illinois, which I think is going to be a game that is a lot tougher than people are going to give it credit for. Fair?
Fair.
How, what, when, why about Purdue? I just don't care, and this is a perfect way to sum this up from the Vancouver Ford text line. Summing up the head coach taking over the offense. Yeah, Hoss, I figured out that offense thing, and I'd say it's about 3 days. It very much feels like Purdue's head coach just boom-howered the offensive scheme.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know. I figured out that vocab. We'll go ahead and I don't know why he's like Foghorn, Leghorn, or Boomhauer, but that's just the way I want this to be. It's a lot more fun that way.
I say.
Right? I learned that offense, that vocabulary.
Yeah.
I'm like, didn't you come up with the vocabulary? Or like, didn't you have some input on that?
Oh, man.
Right? Like, yeah. That's one of those shocking things to me. Like, I can't let go of the Malik Nabers in the Giants-Cowboys game being unconscious in the field and everybody ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of, I'm kind of incredulous to this, too. Like, how does the head coach not familiar with the vocab?
Yeah, that just seems...
Like, even if you're not calling plays, you're on the headset.
Yeah.
You don't...
You would think you want to be a little bit more dialed in than that.
I mean, you... Look, I
considering,
get,
you know, it's your team.
Right? Like, and you're not just going like, yeah, we're going to go Black 21 for high school football parlance back when I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was making sure left, strong left, 21, mm-hmm. two, tailback, one hole. Like, that's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Just running the old, power left dive. Like, I think we're like advanced past that, right? Mm. When we're talking about power four football.
Probably.
But hey, I digress. All right, come up next. We're going to give away some Weird Al tickets when we come back. Also, we will dive into a Yankee meltdown, the Guardians saving the season. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
This is kind of a perfect song here for October baseball.
A little Rock Me Gently.
Yeah. Ain't it good, ain't it right? The Yankees losing. Ain't it good? Ain't it right?
Yes.
Sorry to young Jake out there who's a New Yorker and a staunch Yankees fan.
Yes.
I love seeing the evil empire lose.
Mm-hmm.
Darth Vader getting kicked in the balls is always fun. Not going to lie. As we wrapped up last night's show, or yesterday's show, as we were walking out, I saw the two-run bomb in the third from the Guardians to take the lead, and I was like, hey, Gardo's going to make this a little bit fun.
Yeah.
Right? All right, let's go. Well, and then Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton happened again, and you get the old slam-a-lama-ding-dongs,
mm-hmm.
and those two monsters are monstering in a way that, as much as I hate the Yankees, boy, are they fun. Seeing very large humans hit ball very far, it's just fun. It's just fun, oh, yeah. Regardless of who it is.
Chicks dig the long ball.
It's still as true as ever, and people are still juiced. Nobody cares. See? It's full on Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Hey, guys in baseball using steroids. Yeah, you could yell it out in public, and people are like, meh. And?
And?
They're just using the designer stuff now. It's like, no. People in baseball are just all 6'7" and 260 pounds now.
Yeah.
Interesting. But things got a little dicey. You get to go to extras after the Guardians tie it up in the ninth, and you get to the 10th inning, bottom of 10. You got old Fry up to the plate. He just kind of let it go and gets a two-run knock. One on, two out. Guardians take it away. 7-5.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
Yeah. Avoid the dreaded 0-3 hole.
Not impossible to come back from in baseball. Very, 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 very unlikely.
Yeah. Well, what? It's happened once?
Twice.
Was it twice? Because the Red Sox were the first, right?
In the World Series, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was one other series that they came back from, if I remember right. I might be NHL.
I know it had happened a couple times in hockey.
Yeah, I might be confusing them.
Yeah.
But basketball, still not a thing. 3-1.
Yeah.
3-1, you can come back from in basketball.
Yes. Not 3-0.
3-0, no. Not a thing. I hope this is a sign of that we're gonna push this thing out. Right? Like that.
Right? Get some drama, a little more drama.
Like it's
been a heck of a playoff so far.
Right. That's the thing is, like, I would hate this to go, like, all right, 4-1. And both series just go 4-1.
Yeah.
Like, after everything we've had.
Yeah.
When Rob came in here yesterday, he goes, you know, after watching the Yankees and Guardians first two games, I think my Royals are actually pretty good. Like, I think that's, yeah. And I love that feeling of like when your team gets beat, but you're like, you're the one that gave like the eventual champion the best run.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, as somebody who went to high school here and was, you know, cried when Shaq threw that dunk down from that lob to Kobe. everyone in the city knew whoever won that series was winning the title.
Yes.
And you gave that team the best shot. It's like, sure, the Lakers go on to win a title and you're not technically number two.
Mm-hmm.
But you were.
Yeah.
You were the second best team in the league that year.
Yes.
But it's also that's really just righteous kick in the balls where you were the number two team in the league that year.
Exactly.
And it's like, ugh. But if you're a fair team like the Royals, and they're, I think they're more so on the way up, this is kind of the hope, right? Did you see Emmanuel Clase after falling apart late again?
No.
Went on social media and just flashed like all of his accomplishments, like, you know, like reliever of the year, all-star, all right. His rings.
Yeah.
And Yankees fans are like, he's melting down. It's like, no, what was it? He gave up three home runs, five earned runs during the regular season. He's given up seven earned runs and three home runs.
Yeah, in the postseason. Yeah.
Is this a case of built different or melting down?
I think it's a case of built different, and but also you're at this point you're facing the best of the best too.
I mean, come on, is Gleyber Torres, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Jazz Chisholm? Is that really that good of a lineup?
It's all right, I guess.
I mean, really?
Yeah, it's all right, I guess.
It's, you know, I mean, it's. It's truly disgusting.
Yeah.
It really is. And I
payrolls.
I hate the Yankees with the Yankees with fire passion of a thousand suns. But that's where this is at. All right. I promise we're going to give away some tickets. I'm going to give away some tickets right now to Weird Al. August 14th, 2025. The next August. So make sure if you do win these, put it in the phone with a reminder like a week out. So you're like, oh, that's right. I had tickets for that. You can do that right now by texting WEIRD, W-E-I-R-D, to 503-864-6326 for your chance to win tickets to Weird Al on August 14th at McMenamin's Edgefield. Again, text WEIRD, W-E-I-R-D, to 503-864-6326 right now for your tickets to win. Or for your chance to win tickets to Weird Al. Head to 1080thefan.com for complete details. All right, when we come back, we will spend a little bit of time before I'm off air here relatively soon. Going over whatever that football game was last night between the Broncos and Saints. Come in next year on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. The Denver Broncos beat the New Orleans Saints 33-10 on Thursday Night Football last night, and it was the ugly redheaded stepchild that we all thought it was going to be. I can't remember, again, I saw a line last night as I was, I didn't even second screen that game. I third screened that game. I had it over my shoulder while I had my feet kicked up playing some 2K. But that it was bad football. You just had so many injuries, and the Broncos' offense is a train wreck.
So I was lucky that I was unable to watch it.
Yeah, no, it was not good. It was not good football. Like, I mean, you had both quarterbacks combined for 300 yards.
Yeesh.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Ugh. But hey, that's what you get sometimes on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
Sean Payton is probably the biggest headline here. He makes his return to New Orleans. And there was a bunch of pomp and circumstance. And, you know, he you know, what was it, won 52 games for the Saints and was a big part of reviving that franchise alongside Drew Brees and Super Bowl and everything that kind of comes with it. He's a beloved figure there. And you saw the camera panning around the field all pregame to him dapping everybody up, hugging everybody up, giving love all around. And sure, that's probably the most telling storyline from the game because the football itself was very vanilla, to say the least. Again, you had two quarterbacks who combined for what? Bo had a 164. Rattler had a 172, but he left the game. And Jake Haener ended up having to come in and throw for 38 yards and a tutty even, which saved the score.
Yeah.
Again, it was 33-3 in the fourth.
Yikes.
Yeah. One of those games, like I said, terrible football.
Mm-hmm.
Rattler did get smacked around back there, sacked six times, again, getting knocked out of the game. Yep. Spencer Rattler was rattled.
Boo.
Spencer rattled is more like it. Two fumbles, one of which was scooped and scored by Barton. Took it, what, 54 yards?
Sure.
54 yards? Is that what it was? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head what I heard Al Michaels go, 54 yards. That's a terrible Al Michaels. I don't know why I did that. but it was funny. The angrier Al Michaels is at a game, the better a Thursday night game it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just lamenting how much the game sucks.
52-yard fumble return.
52. God, look at me. How am I not a radio professional? 54. God. Maybe it was they called it a 54 and they changed it to 52. I don't know.
Who knows?
Either way, it was an ugly game. After starting out 2-0 and with this world-beating offense, the Saints are just a battered, bloody pulp of a team.
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost five straight. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Because they had a hot start, too.
Yeah, they scored like 130 points the first two games.
I mean, Clint Kubiak was the early season golden boy.
Well, and then they piled up injuries. And I don't think we talked. No, we didn't. I know because I was here. Rashid Shaheed out for the season.
Yeah.
So there was like, hey, let's take a look at him, see what's going on.
Yeah.
Meniscus.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of surprised that that's out for the season.
Well, it says 4 to 6 months.
I felt like we've done meniscectomies and been better with timing.
Well, because with the meniscus, there's two different things. You can go into repair.
Sure.
Or
replacement.
Right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like.
I would imagine this, they cut that thing out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a drop. They cut that thing out. But they didn't have Olave. They didn't have Shaheed. They didn't have Derek Carr. They were missing two starting linemen, Cesar Ruiz and Eric McCoy. And then I love that they have Taysom Hill is no longer listed as a quarterback.
Tight end.
Just a tight end. I think they had to do that because the fantasy owners were just getting like, no. No, yeah. He's a flex player.
Yeah.
He has to be a tight end.
Right.
Bo Nix, I don't want this to sound bad. He was effective.
Mm-hmm.
16 of 26 for $164.
Yeah.
I was looking at the PFF
stuff.
He ran
for 75.
That's the thing is, like, Bo's actually shown more than a couple times, and he broke off the 30-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown more than a couple times. He's not Peyton Manning back there with the legs.
No.
He's athletic. And, yes. You know, for a non-Duck fan, they're like, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Like when his ankle got crushed against Washington, like that was like, oh crap.
Yeah.
That was the turning point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Peyton, the Broncos, and Bo, the check down stuff is becoming very, 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 very real.
Mm-hmm.
Last look of the guys, like outside of like the Jake Haners of the world, the guys who have made spot appearances or one or two starts, the average depth of throw for Bo Nix is dead last.
Yeah.
So, which it's not the most guaranteed or telling thing in the world,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's certainly one of those things where you go, that's not good.
Well, I mean, you know, it's working out for them. They're 4-3. You know, I mean, it's we're not a dumpster fire here, you know. It's working out to an extent, and there's nowhere to go but up, right? Right?
Sure. Right?
Oh, man.
Let's see. Actually, I'm stupid. My passing chart got all jacked up. There we go. Average depth of throw. I need to sort here. Weirdly, who do you think is number one? It's going to be a name you will not expect. Average depth of throw, the furthest downfield.
Boy, I don't know. I got nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah.
It's Brock Purdy.
Wow. Okay.
10.2.
Man.
Followed by Sam Darnold and then Trevor Lawrence. Josh Allen's fifth, which, you know, you should expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I was looking at that, I went, huh?
Hmm.
You know, funny, the Vancouver Vortex line literally seconds ago, Bo is what Cowher has been trying to accuse Brock Purdy of being. Yeah, that's actually why I brought that up, is that Brock Purdy is often considered check down Charlie.
Yeah.
When that just hasn't been the case. Who do you think has the absolute least depth of throw outside of Bo Nix?
Outside of Bo Nix?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
you're never going to get.
Okay. No, I was going to guess like a Bryce Young.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, only played two games.
Yeah.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Is it?
Patrick Mahomes.
It's Mahomes.
Yeah.
5.7.
Man. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is a checkdown merchant.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Dun, 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 dun. followed by number four, Joe Burrow.
Hmm.
So.
Crazy.
Two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, checkdown merchants? not living up to it. Not living up to it.
Yeah.
Vancouver 4 text line. Trevor Lawrence has got to get out of Jacksonville. He's going to rot and die there for the rest of his career. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's just what I don't understand what has happened there. Because Doug Peterson is not a bad coach. The guy has won a Super Bowl. He's supposed to be great with quarterbacks.
Coaching is the biggest.
He won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles.
Yeah, again, the biggest impact sport is in the U.S. is football,
mm-hmm.
as far as coaching is concerned. I do wonder if there's some sort of disconnect. Maybe I'm letting Trevor Lawrence off the hook because I have been so high on him, and I want to believe.
And until he had shown flashes and had been pretty good until like the last half of last season when he got hurt, when he was injured.
And I wonder if, like, did he get the yips?
I don't know.
Is he still banged up? Because even under Urban Meyer in his rookie year, you saw flashes.
Mm-hmm.
And then year two, you're like, oh, that's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who in college, this wasn't a situation where you had the weird, they don't really run an offense that's not conducive mm-hmm. to the NFL.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, the old air raid thing of like, yeah, you can't Graham Hill your way into the NFL. Which, you know, well, Patrick Mahomes kind of did, you know, but
yeah.
You can't triple option your way into the NFL, right? Like, they ran a mildly pro-adjacent offense at Clemson. And that's why so many pros have gone on from that program at the quarterback and wide receiver position over the last decade.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Look, Deshaun Watson before, at number one, we all knew he was a terrible human, and his arm fell off, was really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the third or fourth best quarterback in the league. Like,
yeah.
No, Houston Texans Deshaun Watson was really good.
Yep.
So, like, the whole, like, going from Clemson to the NFL path
right.
as a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
viable.
Yeah. Well, and Trevor Lawrence was, you know, he was...
Touchdown Jesus.
Yeah, well, he wasn't like a number one overall pick by default.
No.
You know what I mean? In a class that didn't have great ones.
Yeah, oh, well, I mean, quarterback-wise.
Yes.
Yes. player-wise, I mean, we just talked about this yesterday.
But yeah, he was generational talent.
Yes.
Yes. And the guy, he never Ooh. Lost a game in high school or something
yes.
either? Yeah.
Crossover. Is Trevor Lawrence football's answer to Scoot Henderson?
I mean...
I did the Jack Ramsey's last night on the pod, and that was... I had a lot of people kind of banging the door on, you know, is Scoot a bust?
Mm-hmm.
And number one, no. No, you're not a bust.
It's too early, too.
Yeah, you're not a bust after a year unless you're one, Anthony Bennett,
yeah.
two, Johnny Davis.
There we go.
That Wizards pick was, I feel bad for the guy. He's been screwed over by coaching and organizational failures, but
mm-hmm.
oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Redemptive quality yet to be found. But I wonder because I look at the two and I think they're very similar in how they were viewed.
Mm-hmm.
Generational prospect, big, strong physical profiles, Q rating through the roof. You know, you had Trevor Lawrence, the butt chin and high cheekbones and the touchdown Jesus hair and everything that went wildly successful when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Scoot, you know, flamboyant, flashes the smile, got the fro, all the muscles, his own signature shoe when he came in the league. What happens if, you know, both those guys, maybe they aren't generational, they're just good?
Yeah.
Is that a failure? Is that an issue? Is that a problem? I don't know. But I look at that, and after talking about that last night, that kind of popped in my head as soon as we started talking about Trevor Lawrence. Like,
mm-hmm.
Is it a failure because of where they were drafted if they both just end up being really good?
Well, yeah, because at
one or three, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're supposed to, at one, you're supposed to be a franchise cornerstone mm-hmm. in either league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And even at number three.
Oh, in the NBA, it's the top five.
Yeah.
That's like, the one is,
yeah.
two is actually lower than three. Did you know that?
Oh.
As far as like rate of return.
Yeah.
Like expect the rate of return. Because two ends up being kind of like this weird drop off of like people like, well, one's gone. Let's take a chance here.
Yeah. Right.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah.
Then it bumps back up and then it kind of does like it you can see the line drop, but it's kind of weird. It also does the same thing at four and then back up at five.
Yeah. So I guess like with Scoot at three, you know, when you're taking it number three in the NBA, you're hoping for bare minimum a career starter. You know what I mean?
Yes, in the NBA, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, bare minimum.
Which I think that's going to be what we kind of see come out of this.
Yeah.
Is, you know, can Scoop be Marcus Smart? Like, above, again, he's defensive player of the year, but like,
yeah,
an above average starter.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, that's it for today, folks.
We got a couple minutes here.
Do we have a couple?
We got a couple minutes.
Oh, I thought it said 55. It said 52. My bad.
Yeah.
But
I'll hit the music and let you know.
There you go. Appreciate you. The clock over here on this side is not right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I did read it right.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. I was like,
Wait a minute.
Yeah. That's not right. Like, what the hell? But the Portland Trailblazers do take on the Utah Jazz tonight.
Mm-hmm. The Utah Jazz.
And I have said this on Twitter, and I'm just going to put this as plainly as possible. No, I'm not carrying water for my employer. There's the caveat. There are two ways that you can consistently watch your Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Via digital antenna on 2.2.
Yes.
On K2.
Free over the air.
Free. Free 99. With the exception of buying your antenna, which you can get, I'm not kidding, for $5.
Yeah.
Or Blazer Vision. More options will become available as we progress through the season. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to giant streaming company conglomerates and dealing with legal loopholes.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, and so, also what? And on the they are on the Xfinity cable, too. I think it's currently channel 302.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
No?
I am hammering these two specifically
okay. For
this reason.
Alrighty.
Because I think it's going to be a little bumpy with some cable companies and streaming stuff between now and January 1st. Because
it's that, what is it, the crash? Is that what it currently is?
Charge.
Charge. There we go.
Charge.
Crash, charge.
It's what you do.
Block, foul.
It's a verb.
Yeah.
but those are the two. Look, you can go out there and illegally stream it too. Fine, whatever. But those are the things that you are absolutely, unequivocally, positively the ways to watch the game tonight and through the first couple weeks of the season. I will let you know as soon as I know if they get onto YouTube TV, if they get on Hulu, if they get on TiVo, if they get on whatever. Trust me, I want this to be readily available for you. Look, if you think I'm carrying water, let me go ahead and put it this way. Selfishly, I want you to watch because more ratings equals more money for me.
Right?
So please, take my word for it. That'll do it for us now. We've got Ducks game day. I hadn't seen Dirk Newman yet, but they'll be popping in here any minute. And they'll carry you all the way up to Ducks pregame where Jorgie and Jerry and Dusty will have you against the Purdue Boilermakers, the 5 o'clock kickoff in West Lafayette, Indiana. I'll catch you guys on Monday, right?
Yep. Get
back on Monday. Normal, maybe, possibly.
Normal,
We'll figure it out, whatever new normal is. For Jeff, for us, for everybody else, oh, you're still here, never mind. You gotta go.
Yeah, I'm here till 5.
For me, at least. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy football tonight. Ducks coverage, Blazers coverage, everything else. Be safe. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Take care. Talk soon. Bye.
Super duper big play. Quack, 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 quack.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.